The fight to stop the largest tax hike in history has stalled in Congress. Reports are the six negotiators didn't even meet today. And when they have met this week, they talked mainly about football. Also, both the House and Senate are holding sham votes to make their political opponents look bad. But the net result is that nothing is getting done. Now the IRS. The IRS says if the fools in Congress let this thing go past the new year, it will create a massive and expensive mess for every taxpayer in America. People may even need to file their taxes twice for 2010. Our freedom fighters are disappointed but not surprised. My friend and colleague and host of Follow the Money, which follows this show, Eric Bolling, Occidental College professor Carolyn Heldman, and Reason Foundation's Anthony Randazzo. Eric, to you first. How could Wall Street, how could anybody that's going to make major investments plan for the future, the future which is just 3 weeks away, without knowing what tax rates are?
Judge, we talk to people all the time in the Business Network. They say, we're not going to hire one person until we need two. We're not going to hire two until we need five. There's no way to plan. We don't know if it's going to be everyone above $250,000, everyone above $1 million, everyone completely. There is absolutely no way to plan going forward. I will tell you, they better wake up in D.C. because the people above $250,000 are the job creators. And if they don't know, they're not going to hire. And we're going to be in a whole load of trouble.
So the expiration of the Bush tax cuts, which will happen if there is this gridlock, or the imposition of taxes on people above $250,000, will seriously impede the economy and prolong unemployment. Agree, Professor, or disagree?
I would agree with the first part, that if they don't pass something, it will certainly be a bureaucratic nightmare for millions of Americans. That will happen. I have faith that it will happen. Both parties know that it needs to happen. The Democrats have come out and said that it will happen. I disagree with you on the second point. There's no evidence that trickle-down economics actually creates jobs. And in fact, wealthy people right now are stockpiling money, as are corporations. The issue is lack of demand. It is not taxes.
Anthony, I am not talking about trickle-down economics. I'm talking about economics 101. Wealthy people hire other people. Rule number one. How could the government not understand that?
Oh, you're absolutely right, Judge. And it's not only that wealthy people hire other people. It's those people making over $250,000 are oftentimes small business owners themselves who this tax is going to wind up hitting. If you look at projections for what not raising taxes, or for what keeping the Bush tax cuts for those over $250,000 would do, that's going to knock out $600 to $700 billion in investment from the private sector next year.
Right.
That is really bad for the economy. You want to know why unemployment is 9.8% right now? It's because people are waiting for that. They're not investing now, much less now. What the economy is going to look like then is what it looks like now.
Won't the stock market and the other indicators skyrocket if the Bush tax cuts are extended next week?
Yeah, because then there's clarity. They know what's going on. Let me just build on Mr. Randazzo's point. Above $250,000 a year, those are small business people. Those are subchapter S corporations. 3 million of them, Carolyn's shaking her head, no, 3 million who file that way so they don't have to pay corporate taxes because they own their business,
right,
and then trickle down into their personal taxes, double taxes.
Is this class warfare because the Democrats hate the rich?
No, I think it's class warfare of another sense. We've seen the largest shift of wealth from the middle class to the upper 2% since 1980 that we've ever had. I mean, the gap between rich and poor is enormous. And the idea that wealthy people who are already stockpiling billions of dollars and corporations who are stockpiling $2 trillion are going to get a little bit extra money and suddenly start
Carol,
hiring
is a couple
is
that
a
makes $250,000 a year wealthy? Is a
Absolutely.
Couple, is a couple 2%. That has $1 million in income 2%. into their corporation, their small corporation, but only pays themselves $250,000, the other three quarters goes to expense, is that wealth?
Well, Eric pointed out that there are 3 million of those out of 300 million Americans. So let's talk numbers.
Those are the people the Democrats are attacking.
They're also the ones
that create jobs. 70% of
they're
all
not
new
creating
jobs
right now,
in the
and they
country
have plenty
are
of money.
Created
they're
by small
money. Hang on.
Anthony, do we even need the IRS?
Well, we probably need somebody that's going to be collecting taxes if you at least want to have to be able to fund a military. But we don't need the complexity of which the IRS is. Today, we don't need a tax code that looks like a bunch of three-year-olds grabbed blocks and started picking what the different laws were. We need a tax code.
Were you surprised when the IRS commissioner, an appointee of the president, said to the Congress, please make up your minds, because we don't want double filing next year.
Here's the nightmare. Here's what's going to happen. At the end of the year, there will be filers, millions of filers likely, that are going to have to file, pay, And then if they do go ahead and extend the tax cuts for one section or another, they're going to have to file again. It's madness.
Before we go to our break, Carolyn.
I think we all agree that the tax code could be simplified. Unfortunately, there's so many loopholes at the high end that are taken advantage of by people with a lot of money, including my own family members, that I don't think that simplification will take care of the issue of this massive transfer of wealth from the middle class to the upper echelon.
We have to end it at that. But Randazzo, Bowling, Heldman, stick around during the break, because when it comes to WikiLeaks, why the banks might be more powerful than the government. Will Julian Assange's threat to bring down some banks bring him down? The freedom fighters sink their teeth into that one next. The cover of the latest Forbes magazine says that WikiLeaks and Julian Assange want to spill corporate secrets. And since that word came out, Assange may have information that could bring down some big U.S. banks. The heat has never been greater on WikiLeaks. Now, he's a wanted man. Wanted for nonsense, but he's a wanted man. His website has been cyber attacked and pulled from its principal American server. To our freedom fighters on if the banks wield that much more power than the government, back with us, Bowling, Heldman, Randazzo. Randazzo, to you first. Do you think that the reason that Assange is now underground is because he's threatened to bring down U.S. banks and that they're putting pressure on the government of the United States to put pressure on Great Britain and Sweden to take this guy off the streets?
No, I don't buy into that necessarily conspiracy theory. I don't think that that really Assange has much that can embarrass the banks much more than they are right now. I mean, unless he's got information that shows that Bank of America somehow financed the 9/11 attacks in the United States. And there's not much more that really can be thrown at the banks that they haven't already been hit with that could embarrass them. I don't think that they want to be more embarrassed, but I don't think that this is some massive conspiracy that the United States government wasn't going to address it until they go after the banks.
Carolyn, suppose that WikiLeaks reveals some tremendous fraud with federal dollars used by, and we're just picking on Bank of America by way of example. There's no evidence that this is the target, and there's no evidence to support this hypothetical I'm giving. Wouldn't that then be a good thing that WikiLeaks revealed that? Wouldn't that then enable prosecutors to have a paper trail to find out who did commit fraud with federal dollars?
Well, Judge, I think that you and I are the two Americans who agree on this, that WikiLeaks, while it's really uncomfortable, is a very powerful tool to hold powerful people accountable. And in that sense, I think it is within the public interest. And I suspect, given the fact that they're saying that Assange's leak does have something to do with government and possibly Bank of America or some other financial institution, it probably is something along those lines.
You understand the government, you understand the banks. Which would put more pressure on keeping
Judge,
Assange?
Are you one of my best friends in the building? Do we go out to dinner at times? So do we spend a lot of time together? I'm going to stand back and look at the
Yes, yes, yes.
I completely disagree. I think you guys are off base on this.
What?
This guy, you said he's underground. He should be underground, 6 feet underground. He's a threat to America just by fact that he announced that he had some information on banks after he leaked 250,000 cables. And you're going to say the reason why he's hiding now is because the banks have power? Come on, guys. This guy should be put in jail or worse. He should be hung in a public forum.
Put aside the constitutional arguments. Put aside your wish to punish somebody without a trial. Put aside the First Amendment aspect of this, because we're just talking about money. If he does expose the improper use of federal dollars by one of the big banks, wouldn't that exposure be a good thing? Shouldn't we know about it? Shouldn't the Justice Department know about it?
Sure, they should. And the SEC should have known about it, too. I agree with you 100% on that. But at the same time, exposing the banks doesn't put Americans' lives at risk.
Okay.
Releasing 250,000 cables does.
But you know, the SEC can't be trusted, Randazzo, because the SEC looked the other way, particularly with Bank of America when it bought Merrill Lynch. It didn't punish a hair on their head. For the government forced them to buy something for $50 billion that was only worth $33.
I mean, the SEC clearly showed it is not up to the task over the past 10 years and watching over the banks in the United States, which is one great value of something like WikiLeaks.
Look
at the FOIA request we just found out. We found out $3.3 trillion was loaned to foreign banks, to banks around the world, foreign companies. Do it the right way, Judge. Do it through the legal system. Find it out that way. Don't let some anarchist try and take America down any way he can.
That's a good old-fashioned word. I see Geraldo smiling. Last word, Carolyn.
Well, I would say that we've learned a lot of valuable information from the WikiLeaks, not so much this fourth leak, but more about the 15,000 possible civilians who've been killed in Iraq, as well as the bungling of what's happening in the war in Afghanistan. So it has provided really important information, and I would like to see evidence that we have blood, that he has blood on his hands, because to date, if the White House really had evidence of that, wouldn't they present that? Well, all of I've heard is hyperbole.
I'm going to give myself the last word. No one less than the Secretary of Defense has said nobody's died from anything WikiLeaks is revealed.
Yet.
We'll end it at that. Eric Bowling, yes. Carolyn Heldman, Anthony Randazzo, it's a pleasure. Back with the plain truth about your freedom to express yourself. Next.